So, Pete, what are we talking about today?
This Valentine's Day, don't get your heart broken by large hospital bills.
I'm sorry, what?
Because you know the insurance companies are gonna take an arm and a leg.
Okay, that's enough of that. Welcome to Fearless Films.
Fearless Films is a podcast where two horror movie buffs
Hello.
Break down scary movies for the scaredy cats so they don't have to watch the film.
And what film would this be, Pete?
That is a legitimately difficult question to answer because this film has 13 titles.
What?
Well, it's Valentine's Day, so we've already done all the big Valentine's-themed horror movies, so I had to go digging into the archives, and I came across something that was originally titled Hospital Massacre from 1982. But you may not find it under that title. You might find it under some titles as X-Ray, Be My Valentine or Else, and Ward 13.
Could they not decide on a title? Like, what's going on?
None of them actually work. I mean, Hospital Massacre is the most appropriate title for the movie. I don't know why it was changed predominantly to X-Ray, it seems, is what you can find it under on various streaming services or DVD releases. But yeah, it's this weird little slasher film from the early 80s that was trying very hard to cash in on the craze and didn't quite nail it.
Okay.
It was written and directed by a guy named Boaz Davidson. I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's a Hebrew name. He's an Israeli film director who did a bunch of like indie low budget things in the 90s and 80s. And it stars a woman named Barbie Benton, who was a Playboy bunny and actually has a very interesting life story and career. More interesting than this movie that she was better than.
Do we know anybody in the movie, or is it just like...
Oh God, no.
All right.
No. She's the most famous person to come out of this movie.
Okay, then.
And it's not for the movie. It's a brisk 89 minutes long, and as far as I know, I don't even think this has a cult following. I think this was just a lesser known bad horror movie that no one talks about today.
Oh, good. Great. I'm so excited.
It is very, very thinly connected to Valentine's Day, so you're just going to have to bear with me on this one.
Oh, boy. Okay.
You ready?
No.
That's the spirit.
Great.
Okay. The movie opens in flashback in 1961, where a young girl named Susan Jeremy is playing with her friend David. I don't think these kids understand how trains work. Like, they're in her house, I guess, and they're playing with a model train, and she just keeps yelling at him to make it go faster. And I'm like, little girl, model trains have an on and off setting. They don't, like, have variable, like, you don't press a pedal down. But she insists. She's like, faster, faster. Meanwhile, they're being observed from the town voyeur, this unpopular young boy named Harold.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Literally creepily staring at them through a window.
Ew.
He leaves a Valentine's Day card for Susan on her doorstep and rings the bell. She comes out, finds it, sees that it's from him, and sort of just mocks it out loud and throws it away.
Oh.
And this pisses off the young sociopath. So when she's in another room, I think getting a piece of cake, I don't know why there's Valentine's Day cake. That's not a thing.
It is for some people.
Oh, okay. Well, she's doing that. Harold breaks into her house and kills David by, I don't, like, this is the words that are used on Wikipedia, hanging him from a hat stand. But okay. Really, when you see it, he's just, like, the kid's head is just sort of wedged into the arms of the hat stand. I'm not sure how he's dead.
Okay. All right.
So Susan comes out, she sees that, screams, Harold's back at the window smiling evilly, and then it just, like, smash cuts to present day, and it's just, like, 19 years later.
Okay. That was an intro.
Yeah, it's, and this, you're gonna notice this very quickly, and you'll probably have questions by the end of the movie, but I'm gonna tell you right now, there won't be answers. Whoever wrote and edited this film forgot that, like, if you're gonna set up a mystery or something, there needs to be threads that connect. You can't just be like, something happened, and then other stuff happened. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Great.
So, Susan's an adult now, in the movie's present day of 1982. She is divorced, has a daughter with her ex-husband named Ava, and is dating a new guy named Jack. She's a modern woman. She's living her own life.
Okay, good for her. Good.
For some fucking reason, on Valentine's Day, she has to go to the hospital to pick up the results of her latest physical exam because her new job has a health insurance plan that requests that that be done.
All right.
This movie's really trying to make a theme without succeeding.
Yep.
So she shows up. She's like in front of the hospital and her ex-husband shows up with their kid and he's like, I'm dropping her off with you. And she's like, no, I have to go into the hospital. Like, you have to hold on to her until 5 tonight. Then I'll be free. And he's like, all right, fine. And it's just like, there's no, like, this could have been a phone call. Like, they literally just wrote this scene to explain her life situation.
Love that.
And her boyfriend, Jack, is the one who takes her to the hospital. And he's like, I'm going to wait out in the car for you. Because I guess he's got nothing else going on in his life. I don't know. They give you no characterization on anyone other than Susan.
It's not a lot of character development. Okay.
And you see the camera pans up as she's entering the hospital. There's somebody watching her from a window, like, in full, like, surgeon's garb with, like, a mask covering their face except for their eyes. And they've got the craziest of crazy eyes.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm. So she goes to the front desk. She asks where to meet with her doctor to get her results. There is a janitor who's just sort of hanging out at the front desk, and he is committing a, like, sexual crime with his eyes just staring at Susan. Like, Ew. It is not okay.
Ew.
This dude needs to be fired from his job because he is just, like, on top of her with his vision.
Ew.
In fact, it's kind of funny. The I don't, like, this movie was created entirely by men, but you would think that somewhere in here a woman snuck in some writing notes, because it's one of those movies where every single dude this lady runs into is just a different example of, like, a creep or, like, annoying type of dude that a woman will run into in her normal everyday life.
Ew.
It feels like a commentary, but seeing as how this came out in 1982, there's no way that they had that level of self-awareness.
No, absolutely not. Ugh, great.
So she's instructed to head upstairs. She gets in the elevator. Meanwhile, we cut to the mysterious figure from the window is, like, stroking a photograph of young Susan that they have for some reason.
Ew.
Yep.
That's gonna be half my commentary, isn't it? It's ew.
Yeah, pretty much.
Great.
There's a fucking, there's a series of weird ass scenes in this movie and, like, red herring, like, who's the killer characters. Like, she gets on the elevator and there's this dude who looks dead. Like, he's got red stuff all over his face and he's not awake. But then you realize that's just, like, ketchup and he's eating a very messy burger or something. And then he, like, says some rude shit to Susan, and then you find out, or you realize, that this guy's, like, a patient from, like, a psych ward who's just wandering around this hospital unattended.
Okay, well, that's just, alright.
Yeah, very Jack Nicholson vibes of the time period, like, very Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, great.
So that dude, like, leaves the elevator just randomly after being a weirdo. Then, she keeps going up, the door opens, and there's just three dudes standing there with gas masks. And the middle guy is very aggressive when he's like, "Lady, you shouldn't be here!" That's pretty much what his voice sounds like, too.
Oh.
And she's like, "I'm sorry, I thought this was my floor." And he's like, "No, we're fumigating on this floor! You gotta go back down!" And, he's just super mean about it.
Okay, well, you could be nice about things, Mr. Fumigator.
There's no reason for him to be this aggressive with this random patient. So she hits the button to go back down a floor. Meanwhile, a mysterious figure sabotages the elevator, so she gets stuck between floors. We then cut to her doctor, who's in her office, and the movie tries to be realistic. They see her, maybe she just came out of surgery, but, she's taking off the little booty coverings from her shoes. But I'm like, no, movie, if she were wearing those, she would have taken them off in the wash-up room.
Yep.
Not, she wouldn't have walked all the way to her office and spread germs across the hospital.
Yeah.
So they almost got points, but then they lost them immediately.
Okay. So 0 points. We're still at zero.
This movie's at 0 points.
Cool.
So this doctor lady, she gets paged to go to the 9th floor, which I'm like, wouldn't the employees know that that's the floor that's being fumigated? But she goes anyway.
Okay.
And fucking, she's up there looking around for who called her, and then the killer jumps out and stabs her to death.
Now what did she do?
She was in the way. It's all part of the killer's plan, though, because then the killer sabotages the exam results for Susan and plants them back in the doctor's office.
You have already used the word sabotage more than I would like you to.
It's a running theme.
Great.
Susan, the elevator starts working again. She gets out, goes to her doctor's office. There's no one there, so she sits down to wait in the hallway, lights up a cigarette because this is the 80s and you were still allowed to smoke in hospitals.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's just a lot of her waiting for a while. There's a janitor. Remember the creepy janitor?
Yep.
So he goes up to the 9th floor and I forget why, but he's looking around for something and he finds the doctor's body hanging upside down in a locker.
Oh.
And Oh, I forgot to mention, the soundtrack for this movie is something else. It is fucking weird. When the doctor was being stalked by the killer, there's there's string music playing, and then there's just weird vocalizations, people just being
I hate it. Mm-mm.
And the best part is every now and then you just hear a yucca,
yucca.
And I'm what the fuck is this music supposed to be? But then cut to later when the janitor is being stalked by the killer. It's like they just lifted the soundtrack from The Omen and started playing that. It's devilish choir music.
What the heck?
And I'm like, what is this movie trying to be? So the janitor is lured into this room with all those chemicals and shit. And the killer jumps and grabs him and shoves his face into a sink full of acid.
Oh.
Just because.
Okay. That's... alright.
It is the first in a series of murders in this movie that are just the killer having to kill people because they've discovered his previous victims.
Well, he should be more careful.
He's got a whole floor that's being fumigated. You'd think it wouldn't be a problem, but people keep going up there and finding his dead bodies.
And hanging upside down in a locker kind of makes me feel like you wanted someone to discover it.
Oh, it's super extra. There's no reason she had to be upside down.
Yeah.
Why couldn't he just stuff her in the locker? There's more the movie is trying to make literally every character except Susan a suspect for who the murderer is. Because it's the janitor was a suspect till he died. The mental patient is probably a suspect. There's a scene where I literally screamed Jesus fuck while watching the movie. Because at one point, Susan calls the house or her ex's house to check in on him and the daughter. And it's just ringing and ringing. And you see the ex-husband be like, I'm not going to answer that. If it's her, I don't want to talk to her.
Well.
It's wow, you're a terrible parent. But when it cuts back to Susan, there's just a fucking doctor hovering right behind her over her shoulder, like inches away from her face.
How did she not know that?
And I guess I read online that that was the director throwing himself into a cameo.
Okay.
But yeah, so, you know, there's nothing going on there. She doesn't, she can't get in touch with her ex-husband, because he's an asshole. Then she goes looking around for someone to help her because her doctor hasn't shown up for like an hour. And she runs into this this intern, this guy named Harry, and he's like super friendly and is like, "Hey, can I help you?" And she asks about, like, you know, "I just need to get my results and get out of here. My doctor's not around." So he's like, "All right, I'll help you out." And he gets her into the doctor's office. They find the exam results. He's looking at them and he's like, "I want to show these to another doctor. Just come with me." So they go find this other guy, Dr. Saxon, who is literally the worst human being in a movie I've ever seen.
Oh, that's saying a lot. Okay.
You'll find out why as this continues.
Great.
But this guy's like, "These are peculiar results. You know, maybe she should stay here for a while and we can check something out." So they tell her she needs to stick around. And they put her in a room. And later on, the doctor comes in, and he's like, "I need to give you a new, like, I just have to do your exam over again, your physical, because, you know, we need to make sense of these test results." And he won't tell her what's going on. And he's being fucking weird and mysterious about it. He's just like, they literally just must have told this actor, like, "Pretend you're the villain in a comic book. Go." Because, like, he has the weirdest attitude towards this woman, where he's being very mean to her, very rude and brusque. But he won't tell her anything.
You're definitely supposed to tell people what their results are.
Yeah, and it's like, why is this doctor mad at this woman for existing? But this is the most exploitative part of the movie. So he's like, "All right, go put on your gown." So she gets changed. And while she's behind a screen getting changed, he's just eye-fucking it the entire time. Like, he won't stop staring.
Gross.
But it gets worse.
What it...
She comes out, she sits on the table, and he's like, "All right, I'm going to do your exam now." And he takes the gown off of her and proceeds to do her physical exam just like... She's just in her panties and nothing else.
Okay, well, that's not how my exams go. Just saying.
And it's the grossest, most uncomfortable thing. Like, he has her lie down, and he's just like... You know, he's doing the thing where he's, like, you know, feeling her muscles and, like, feeling up her leg, but he's doing it as slowly as fucking possible.
Ew.
And you know the thing where the doctor, like, puts their finger on your stomach and, like, taps it or whatever? And he's doing that, but in, like, the creepiest, slowest way possible. And this scene goes on for, like, 7 minutes.
Ew.
You watch an entire physical exam happen to this naked woman.
Ugh.
It is just, I'm like, why? What is the purpose of this?
Gross. Gross, gross, gross.
Which, I mean, I know what the filmmaker said. She's a Playboy bunny. We know what the purpose was. But it's not necessary. It's absolutely not. It's not sexy in any way. So then, I'm sorry, I'm just looking through, I'm scrolling through my notes, and it's like, there's like 4 different entries of what the fuck is wrong with this doctor.
Well, it's accurate.
Yep, full minute close-up on her breasts, more than enough, we don't need to see that, blah, 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 blah. So then, he's like, he finishes the exam, and he's like, "We need to put you in this room for now while we go over your results and, you know, do some tests." And they put her in this room that has to be in the psych ward. Because it's like, she's in a room with 3 other people. And they're all elderly women, except one of them's played by a man, and I don't know if that's supposed to be, like, an in-universe thing or not.
Oh.
But these 3 women, these 3 old ladies, are, like, fucking, they're basically the 3 fates from, Macbeth.
Oh, okay.
Like, she enters the room, and they all, like, gather together, and they all start, like, finishing each other's sentences and being like, "She's not well. There's something rotten inside of her. Inside and out."
What the fuck?
I don't know what the fuck this scene is about, but it happens.
Okay, great.
I'm just so fucking fascinated by these old ladies, but the movie does not explain them at all.
No, of course not.
Meanwhile, finally, we cut her away to, like, the killer shown... back up on the ninth floor, wheeling a couple of dead bodies somewhere. No idea who, no idea why he had to kill them, just moving some bodies.
As you do.
We then get another cutaway to the ex-husband who's tucking the daughter in and then mysteriously, like, pulling a knife out of a drawer and, like, inspecting it and then putting it in his pocket and walking out of the house ominously.
What the fuck?
I'm gonna give you a spoiler right now. Nothing comes of that scene.
Oh, well, I hate that.
Like, there's no follow-up to him being like, I need this knife, and looking angry as he leaves his house. Like, nothing happens. It's literally, they shot a scene to make him look like a suspect, and then forgot to, like, cap that off and explain what the fuck was happening.
Lovely.
Meanwhile, back at the hospital, we got the killer taking out more people because we just, I guess we need a body count in this movie, but like you see this lab worker who's like typing up some paperwork and he like sneaks up on her, stabs her to death, like throws her body in a closet, and the killer finds more of Susan's paperwork and sabotages more of it.
Of course.
Which leads the doctors, like the shitty doctor now takes the paperwork to a different doctor and he's like, look at this. And they're like, this woman must be dying, but she's not exhibiting any symptoms. What's going on? None of this is explained to Susan.
That's okay. That's just, first we're exploiting her and then we're not even telling her why we're exploiting her.
No, now it's a conspiracy. There's multiple doctors who are like, this is insane. We can't tell her anything.
Okay.
Then, because this is just what happens in this movie, a different lab worker walks into that room and opens the closet and finds the stabbed to death lab worker who was typing, and the killer pops out and strangles the second lab worker to death, and now he's got two bodies because he's got to bring up to the ninth floor.
Okay, so he was literally waiting for someone to discover the body.
Yes, or he just didn't have time to move it yet, and he's quick on his feet.
All right.
So the doctors come back into the room where Susan is and are like, you need to be kept here for a few days for observation because your results are all over the place. And she's like, what? What's going on? And they're just like, that's all. And they leave.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
After, some time in the room with the three fates over there, the old crones, she's got enough of this. So she goes wandering to find help. And she runs into that guy, Harry, again, the intern, the helpful intern. And he's like, she's like, you gotta tell me what's going on. They're all being mysterious and not telling me what's wrong, but something's obviously seriously wrong. And he's like, all right, I'll help you out here. So he helps her break into one of the doctor's offices, and they find her files. And he's like, I'm gonna take a look at these and tell you what's up. And he goes over them. He's like, all right, I think you're okay, and I think somebody's been messing with your paperwork, and somebody's trying to pull a con job on you. Which is just like, okay, sure. Whatever. That happens.
Yeah, the old con job. You know.
So he tells her to sit tight, and he's gonna go, like, figure this out and straighten something out. Who knows? But immediately after he leaves, there's a quick scene of, like, he answers a phone, and the person on the other end is like, we're looking for Dr. So-and-so. And he's like, oh, I don't know where they are. I'll help you find them. And then he just fucking wanders out of the movie for a while.
Okay, bye, Henry.
Harry.
Harry. Whatever.
Cut to, you remember Jack, the boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like hours later now, and he's still out front of the hospital waiting in his car. He had, like, fallen asleep, and he wakes up, and he's like, oh, I gotta go find Susan. This is fucking weird. So it's like nightfall at this point. He goes into the hospital. He asks around for Susan. People are various levels of rude to him. Like, how dare you look for somebody?
What do you think this is? A hospital where we have visitors?
Right? He ends up finding her and she's like, you gotta get me out of here. This place is crazy and I don't know what's going on. But like, as they try to leave, creepy doctor stops them and is like, whoa, 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 buddy. We need to keep her here for observation. And he's like, why? And he's like, I'm not gonna fucking tell you.
Lovely. Love that.
Yeah, they don't even pull the sexist thing. It's not even like, well, I can tell the man of this relationship. No, even the dude doesn't get to know what's going on.
Okay. Love that.
So they, like, take her back to her room, and Jack is, like, sitting in the hallway. Like, they're like, wait here, and we'll get back to you. And like 2 seconds later, there is an announcement over the intercom that says, "Would the man in the hallway on the 8th floor please answer the phone?" And like the phone in the hallway nearby starts ringing.
Oh, I hate that.
What the fuck?
That is the creepiest thing in the movie so far.
I hate that. About it. So he answers the call, and it's just a random voice who's just sort of like, you gotta go up to the 9th floor. Your girlfriend's up there, and she's waiting for you. Which he is just like, okay, and just starts heading up there.
All right.
No, I've got you beat. This next moment is the creepiest moment in the movie. Because he goes up into the 9th floor, which is being fumigated. It's all smoky and hazy up there. And he runs into the 3 crones.
Fucking why?
They're just wandering the hallways because this is the stupidest hospital that has ever existed.
How come all the mental patients are just, like, walking around willy-nilly? This is not well-staffed.
It was at this point in the movie that I'm like, these 3 ladies have to be supernatural. Like, there's no other explanation. Because they're, like, just wandering the hallways, and they see Jack, and they're like, Dr. Saxon? No, that's not Dr. Saxon. We must find Dr. Saxon! And then they just wander into the mist.
Okay.
So Jack fucking stumbles around the 9th floor for a while, and then he finds a dead body, and then the killer jumps him from behind and decapitates him with a surgical saw, like a power saw.
What the hell? Okay.
Because Jack saw what he wasn't supposed to see.
Okay. All right.
Meanwhile, back with Susan, she's getting fed up. This place is, like, scaring the shit out of her. She goes running around looking for help. The hospital continues its theme of, like, horror show because, like, she walks into a room and there's just 3 dudes in full body casts in traction and they all just start screaming and wiggling around as soon as they see her.
Ew.
And I'm like, are they being held captive? What the fuck is this?
I don't like that.
So she's running around. The doctors and the nurses find her. They grab her and, you know, like, at this point, it, like, she seems hysterical, but it's, like, for very good reason.
Yeah.
Because this place is crazy and is trying to drag her down with it. So they're like, all right, enough of this. Like, if she keeps this up, we're going to have to, you know, do something. And, like, they tie her to a fucking bed and they, like, try to give her sedatives. And she's like, you're all fucking crazy. What is this? Let me go. And they're just like, okay, lady. And they just, I guess they think she's losing her mind. I don't know why. I think this hospital is secretly just a mental institution and not a regular hospital, but it's not labeled as such.
There was no reason there to tie her to the bed and give her a sedative. Like, none.
No. But it gets to the point where they're like, and I don't even get this, to like, all right, we have to perform emergency surgery on her. Oh, wait, no. The emergency surgery isn't yet. I'm sorry. What happens first is that the killer, like, when she's passed out, delivers a Valentine's box to her room. And she wakes up and finds it and opens it, and Jack's head is inside.
Oh.
Then she goes running around and screaming again, and when the doctors and nurses bring her back to her room, the box is there, but inside is just a cake.
How do you do that?
I don't know. And this is a lot of effort to do all this. So this is then when they, like, they tie her down again and they're like, all right, it's gone too far. She needs emergency surgery. And I'm like, what?
For what?
Emergency
for what?
Surgery is going to fix? Yeah, like, are they about to lobotomize this woman? So they tie her down. They bring her to a surgery room. They start prepping her for surgery. Meanwhile, the audience still has no idea what the fuck they're doing the surgery for. And then a series of wacky fucking hijinks ensues where, like, a nurse leaves the room to go get something, and in the hallway, she is attacked by the killer who, he appears at the other end of the hallway, and he's holding up a sheet in front of him. Like, do you know those TikTok memes where it's like you hold up the sheet in front of your dog, and then, like, as you drop it, you run around a corner so the dog thinks you just disappeared?
Yes. Is that what we're doing?
That's kind of like the killer's holding up the sheet like that, but instead of disappearing, he just starts running down the hallway towards this nurse.
What the heck?
I don't. And she, like, she casually tries to jog away and scream for help ineffectually until the killer grabs her and kills her.
All right. Well,
I don't know why. And then, like, the doctor leaves the room because he's like, where's that nurse? I need that thing. And this was actually the best violent moment in the movie. He's, like, he's in an office trying to get something, and the killer sneaks up behind him and just fucking impales his neck from behind with, like, a saw.
Oh!
And they're just, like, blood squirts out everywhere, and it actually looks really cool.
Okay, 1 point for the movie. 1 point.
1 point. Although I think we're kind of in the negatives already for this movie for all the, like, weird, gross sexual stuff earlier.
Good point. Good point. Point Pete! Good job.
Yeah. So, you know, the killer has now effectively taken out all the people who were about to perform surgery on her, I guess. So the killer then goes into the room and reveals himself to her. And it's Harry, the friendly intern, which makes the most sense because he's been missing from the movie for the past, like, 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the dumb part. Here's the dummy dumb dumbest dumb part.
Oh, boy.
Harry is the young boy Harold from the opening prologue.
That's not what I thought you were going to say. Okay.
He disguised himself with his own name. Harry Harold. And I don't know, though. At the same time, I've got to give him props because he didn't just, like, sneak into this hospital and, like, kill people from the shadows. No, he is an employee at... He went to medical school and waited 20 years to enact his revenge on the little girl who crumpled up his Valentine when he was a boy.
I feel like that wasn't, like, that serious of a thing, but I guess it was.
He held a grudge. So she's like, what do you want? And he responds, what I've always wanted, Susan, your heart.
What?
And then he makes like he's gonna fucking cut her heart out of her chest. So, what ends up happening is, guess what saves Susan's life?
I don't even know where to go. What is it?
Coming full circle on my theory that this is just like a Greek myth, the three old crones show Jesus. Up and distract the... They temporarily distract Harold. He's like, what? And when his head is turned, Susan grabs this like 10-inch knife from the surgical table and jams it into Harold's gut.
Ooh.
So she gets him, unties her restraints, and just fucking books it. And Harold gives chase. And it's like, this is a protracted chase scene where he's, like, following her up the floors of the hospital with this giant knife in his stomach. And he just keeps going.
Sounds painful, but okay.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't look fun. So, they end up, like, he chases her up to the roof where she finds, like, a metal pipe, beats him with it a few times. Because at this point, he's pulled the knife out of his stomach and he's trying to stab her with it. But she beats his ass down. And then at one point, like, there's just, like, a can of, like, gasoline and she pours it all over him to, like, try to blind him. But, like, you know, that doesn't work. But, hey, he's covered in gasoline now. And to prove that Susan is the most badass of them all, at, like, the big climactic moment is he tackles her to the ground. He's, like, pinning her down and he's, like, bringing the knife down on her and she's holding it off with one hand. She grabs her lighter, which you'd seen her like playing with earlier in the movie, and lights this fucker on fire when he's on top of her.
Oh, risky.
And then she just like kicks him off of her and he's rolling around like in flames screaming. And she basically like backs up to the edge of the roof. And when he comes running at her to grab her, she dives out of the way and he goes plummeting off the side of the building to his death.
Good for her.
Yeah, it was a really cool final moment.
But why was there a thing of gasoline at the hospital?
They went through like a maintenance room or something and that's when she had grabbed it. It was, I don't know, it's just part of the set decoration.
All right.
And then the movie, being what it is, just, like, sort of cuts to the next day, and Susan's being released and reunites with her daughter and her ex-husband, and everyone's happy. And they never explained why the husband needed that knife.
The hell? That was a movie.
That was Hospital Massacre, a.k.a. X-Ray, aka Be My Valentine or Else, which I'm glad they didn't stick with that title because that kind of gives away the surprise from the get-go.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that much of a surprise, but...
Like I said, this is what I was getting at before. It's like they're like, okay, so what do all great slashers have? You got, you know, a single location where the heroine is being chased around, and you've got a killer with a tragic backstory that made them evil, and you've got a mystery that needs to be solved. Like, who is the killer? And we set up lots of, you know, fake outs. But it's just like, the kid from the beginning of the movie is obviously the killer, and she runs into a guy who has the same name as that kid. I wonder who the killer is.
I mean, I didn't remember that it was the same name, but that means nothing.
But yeah, it's not a very good movie.
Yep. Yeah.
It's just full of just so many unconnected threads. Like, what's the deal with those three old ladies? Why was that doctor, like, a fucking maniac and, like, harassing this woman at every turn and never telling her what the hell was wrong with her test results?
You could make a movie just about the three old ladies, and that'd be great.
I need a follow-up. Here's what I need. Another completely unrelated movie, like, horror movie, but where they show up again.
That'd be wonderful.
They're just they're so much more intriguing than everything else that's going on in this movie. Is what's the deal with those three old ladies? Why is one of them a guy? I don't, like, was it just a casting joke? Because, you know, 80s. Or was that really supposed to be, like, a trans person within the universe of the movie?
Oh, I really hope not. That's not good.
Oh my god, it's so, so weird. So, I'm going to talk real quickly about something far more interesting, and that is the star of this movie, Barbie Benton.
Yes. You said she had an interesting life story.
Birth name Barbara Lynn Klein. She was way more fascinating when I looked into her than anything about this movie. So, born to a Jewish family in New York, she grew up in Sacramento, and even from a young age was into all kinds of things. Like, she took scuba diving lessons as a kid. She learned how to play the piano as a kid. Like, all kinds of shit. She began modeling at the age of 16. When she was 18, she went to UCLA to become a veterinarian, but she realized that she couldn't stand the sight of blood, so she made a career pivot. And from connections through her modeling, somebody at Playboy approached her to be on their show, Playboy After Dark, which aired in the from 1969 to 1970. And she started as an extra on the show, but Hugh Hefner fell in love with her, and she quickly elevated up the ranks. They started dating, and she became, like, a Playboy, like, you know, star. And she used the momentum from that to jump into an acting career. And she was on, like, classic TV shows like Hee Haw, The Love Boat, Fantasy Island, and then jumped from TV to movies, which led to the illustrious Hospital Massacre, which we just talked about. And then she jumped from that to becoming a recording artist.
What the heck?
She released a record in 1975 that was a top 5 hit on Billboard's country singles chart.
Wow.
She recorded 8 albums, the last of which she personally produced. She also composed the songs, sang them, and played piano on all of her tracks.
Huh.
And then, like, after all of that, she met a guy. She had already been, like, not with Hugh Hefner for a while. She met this guy named George Gradow, a real estate developer, settled down with him, had a couple of kids, and now they just divide their time between their homes in Aspen and Los Angeles.
Must be nice.
This lady fucking succeeded at life.
Yeah, she did. Holy crap.
I want a biopic about this lady just because.
Be more interesting than the movie you just described.
You would think that, like, the person who starred in a movie called Hospital Massacre and was like how I just described it wouldn't have had such a successful life afterwards.
No.
But she killed it. She fucking owned the universe.
It's fantastic.
Good for you, Barbie.
Well, did you, yes. Did you learn anything watching this, masterpiece, Pete?
Well, that's an interesting question. So, first off, let me just say that I could find not a lot about the numbers of this movie. There's no budget listed anywhere.
Oh.
And the only note I found about its theatrical performance was that it was released regionally in Wichita, Kansas, and then had a, quote, brief run in other states.
Well, that's very specific. Thank you.
Yeah, that, I don't know, fuck. So, I couldn't tell you how this did financially. Even worse than that is if you stroll on over to Rotten Tomatoes, this movie does not have a critic score on Rotten Tomatoes.
And what does that mean?
It only has one critic review, so it doesn't qualify to have an official score.
Aww.
It has an audience score based on 100 plus reviews, and that audience score is 18%.
Oh no.
Yes. The one, is this the critic review? It says X-Ray, because it's listed as X-Ray on Rotten Tomatoes, is so bad it could almost be construed as an unintentional parody, but this might suggest a certain amount of humor, which is not the case at all.
Oh.
I mean, I can't really disagree.
Oh, that's not good.
Oh, when you follow that link, it actually takes you to... This is like an old magazine or something from the 80s.
Oh.
I think. Wow, that's interesting. here are some of the audience reviews listed on Rotten Tomatoes. This is the worst hospital in horror history, even worse than Halloween 2. Hey, you shut your mouth, Chris M. Halloween 2 is a legitimately good movie. There is no security guards or cameras. Plus, what was going on with that one floor? They creepily mentioned that they were fumigating in the floor and the gas was poisonous, but later everyone was walking through the gas like it was just for atmosphere. Another review says, as a legit slasher from the genre's heyday, this laughably obtuse, quote, horror fails in every way. Script, direction, camera, acting, music, etc. Might make for some deliciously campy fun on a bad movie night.
Okay, I can see that.
The music was out of place, but it wasn't bad. It was certainly interesting, and it stood out, and it was memorable. It just was not supposed to be in this movie, I don't think.
Maybe they were just like, yeah, this sounds good. This is good. This will work.
Yeah, all the rest of the stuff they said, I completely agree. Although I will, circling back a few steps, Barbie Benton actually does a passable job acting in this movie. Like, you hear... If, you know, you might hear, like, you know, Playboy, Playmate or whatever and think, oh, she was just a set of, you know, a pretty face to throw on the screen. But no, like, she could actually act. And the scene where, like, they think she's hysterical and they're, like, trying to tie her down to the bed was, like, legit a good scene. Like, she is screaming at them and she's just, it's all raw emotion. And she's like, you people are fucking crazy. I'm trying to tell you there's a killer. And, like, they're just not having it. And she's the best part of that whole sequence. Hands down.
Well, good for you, Barbie.
Everyone else in this movie, terrible fucking actors. They are just, they have the weirdest line deliveries and just no one knows what they're doing.
Oh, great.
Question for you, Sarah.
Okay.
Do you think you would ever watch this movie?
I'm okay, so here's my thing. I want to say that I would go with, like, the bad movie night and have it on, but I don't think I'd pay attention. I feel like I'd be like, this is not how I'd be like scrolling on my phone. I wouldn't be watching whatever was happening.
Well, I gotta say, it's certainly not boring. There's basically a kill every like 4 to 5 minutes for some reason.
Well, I do like that.
And I think they did it just to keep you entertained. But like, I would actually watch this again. I would get a group of people and be like, you guys gotta see this crazy shit so I'm not the only one who's seen this.
Okay.
I mean, really, if I watch this in the future, it's solely for those three old ladies. Like,
I do kind of want to see about the three old ladies.
I'm building a whole mythology in my head about what their deal is and why they're there.
Great.
Which leads me to my next point. This absolutely is a movie that needs to be remade.
Yes, I was thinking it while you were describing it. Yes.
But it needs to lean into the weird shit. Like, keep the old ladies and keep them exactly as they are. Just update, like, make it an actual mystery, not just like a setup without a middle portion and then just a reveal at the end. I think with a, you know, you don't even need a, that big of a budget. You just do the same thing. It's all in this one hospital, focused on one woman, and people are getting picked off left and right around her. I think you could make something really interesting out of this movie.
After the killer's revealed, the husband or whatever goes outside and he's actually just trying to cut a peach with that knife that he was looking for.
He's just doing some gardening.
Yeah, you know. This would be a good remake.
Oh, yeah. I think this could be something fun. Get real crazy with it. Keep the, like, over-the-top murder scenes. Drop the fucking creepy-ass examination scene, though. We don't need that.
No.
I mean, if you need to show boobs in your movie, like, you can just have the camera, like, catch a glimpse of her when she's changing. Like, if it absolutely has to happen.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I think, though, you have to balance it out. You gotta show, like, some dude's butt or something. There's gotta be, like, an equalizing. But yeah, I would put money, I would throw money at a remake of this movie. Although, I guess we'd have to come up with a, like, another name for it.
Oh my god.
Just to really confuse people. It wouldn't be remade as Hospital Massacre or X-Ray. It would need to be something completely different just to follow its own trend.
Hospital Hell, produced by Fearless Films.
Ha-ha! But Hospital Hell is what we'd release it as theatrically. When it gets to home video, we change the name to something else. Deadly Valentine. We gotta keep our audience on their toes, you know what I mean?
We do. Okay.
I don't really think we can do our typical what's in a name segment because
there's too many names.
This is a, yeah, this movie did it to itself. Like, the movie is its own what's in a name segment.
I definitely agree that Hospital Massacre was the one that fit the best.
Yes, because there was a massacre that occurred in a hospital.
Yes. Was there even an X-ray taken the whole movie? Was there an X-ray?
So there is. Like, when they're looking through her shit, they're just like, oh, this X-ray looks strange. But, like, they never explain why. So while it is a bit fitting for the title X-ray, it doesn't make me satisfied because it's just left to never be explained.
Great.
So, Hospital Massacre, we stick with that one because it is the most accurate for this movie.
I can go with that.
I'm going to have to call Kevin and tell him about this and get his 2 cents. We can release that as bonus audio at some point.
Please.
Lessons learned from this movie.
Ooh.
The obvious one, if somebody says that they are fumigating somewhere, don't go into that place. That's just common sense.
Why are they only fumigating one floor?
Yeah, I don't... Can you even safely fumigate one floor of a hospital? Like, is that even possible?
I don't know that there's a way to, like, seal the doors well enough.
Yeah, I feel like that would be a risk to the other floors of the hospital.
Yeah, that's... That doesn't sound like good planning.
My other lesson I would say I learned from this movie is... When you begin a career as a serial killer, you need to have way more pre-planning than this guy did because people kept finding the bodies he was trying to hide. And then he would kill another person. Now he's going to hide 2 bodies and he doesn't have the time for that before a 3rd person shows up. And now he has to hide 3 bodies.
Also, maybe change your name.
Yeah. I mean, it was the perfect disguise. No one would suspect he would keep his actual name. This is why Jason hits, like, the camp, because there's only so many people there. A hospital has hundreds of people in it. You can't work with that. That's too many. It gets messy, and you don't have time to clean up your old shit before you're on to new stuff.
That poor woman probably doesn't even remember crumpling up the Valentine's Day card.
No, it probably meant... Well, I mean, that was the day her best friend was murdered in her home, so who knows, but, like... I don't know. That's never talked about again either. Like, does she have lingering trauma from that day or what? Who knows? Did you learn anything from this movie, Sarah?
Maybe say something if your doctor's doing your physical real weird. If it doesn't seem right. Also, maybe send him out of the room while you change.
Yes. That's usually is what's supposed to happen anyway, right? Aren't they supposed to be like, now you change, and then they leave the room, and then you're waiting for another 45 minutes because we live in America?
Yes, and then they knock before they come in. Yeah, if you are getting an exam done and the doctor just takes off your gown, maybe press the panic button if there is one.
Oh,
yeah. He's not doing his job right.
You are well within your rights to shut that shit down.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. This is not how I expected we'd be celebrating Valentine's Day this year.
No. Nope.
This is just too weird.
This is a weird movie, Pete.
This is a very strange film. I would make a joke about, like, well, I never want to go in a hospital again, but, like, as I said before, we live in the United States of America. I don't want to go in hospitals at any point because
yes.
Then I'm bankrupt.
Yep. That's pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm. Well, looks like I'm just going to have to perform my own home surgery whenever it's necessary.
Don't forget to wear your little booty covers all the way across your house when you're done.
I will also, yep, I will wear my booty covers. I won't forget that. And more importantly, I will always remember to not get too scared.